Good morning, everyone. Good to be back again to look at the Word of God after some time. The last few times I spoke, if you remember, I'm doing a series from the book of Isaiah. And we will continue where we left off. The last three messages we covered only 1.5 chapter, maybe a little bit of chapter two also. My intention is definitely not to go by verse, which will not finish until I die, because it has a long book with a number of chapters. So I will not take verse by verse. My intention when I started is to pick up lessons that are applicable to New Testament Christians like you and me. And we also see application for the local church in a various aspect of the life of Israel, as it was reminded by the prophet through the Holy Spirit. Now, why do we need to take any seriousness to the Old Testament? I want you to, well, like, let me read that for you in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and this is what Apostle Paul says. He's talking from the beginning about the Israel and their condition. And verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." And then he's going to say more things about Israel in the following verses. And here is the main verse I want you to look at, verse 11. It is important that we take the Old Testament very seriously to the best of our understanding and applications that we can use in our life. Here is what Paul says. Why is this 639 books given to us? Some of them very long, like the book of Isaiah. Now, all these things, referring to what he just now said, now all these things, this is what chapter 10, verse 11, happened unto them for examples. Examples for who? And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Yes, we should really study and follow the New Testament, which where it is a lot more things given to us. But the Old Testament, as it is given, Paul says these are what happened to them at the time. It is an example for us that we should be following and be very serious about it. Not all the examples are for us to pick up and follow, like David committed adultery. That is there for a reason for us to be fearful and not to do it and not to follow his steps. There are many murders, many wars, many of those things are given to us with an intention that we should be careful not to follow that, but to live a righteous life. That is what intention of Paul, as he reminds from here. With that said, I don't have to tell many of you the things that are all around us. Generally speaking, Christian churches, Christian families, Christian believers individually, slowly but surely has been stepping one step at a time further and further from the truth. This week, I was looking, I don't really open a lot of messages that I receive. People send all kinds of videos and this and that. I'm sure you also get it. But one of them I opened, and the preacher was saying, this is, he said he has been preaching there for 40 years in that church. I didn't go, you know, examine, waste my time to study what he was saying. He said he has been trying to remove the word Savior from the in association with the Lord Jesus Christ in his church for a long time. Because, listen carefully, it is offensive to others, other religions, And many of them are not coming to us because of that. What a ridiculous statement coming from a pastor who has been preaching for 40 years. He claimed to be a Baptist. Any common sense Baptist will not agree with him. This is where I just quoted that one thing that I saw this week. But this is what's happening all around us. Believers, be very careful. Where you go, where you fellowship, it is a very serious matter. What they teach, what do they believe, what does the pastor believe, it is always what he believes that is being taught. So I want you to be very careful and don't depart from the truth. That is only a side note. And these things that we are going to consider this morning together from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2 and 2 up, if time permitting, I'll go up to chapter 5. Not all verses though, we will pick up a few from here and there. Last time when we were looking at the chapter 2, we saw that Isaiah was pointing out certain problems that are happening among the people of God. We saw that there was spiritism involved in them, chapter 2, verse 6, because they are filled with what comes from the East. Many of us come from the East. We know how the spiritism has taken control of almost all of the Eastern nations. And they use auguries or imaginations and superstitions like the Philistines. That's what we read Isaiah saying in verse 6. They have copied these things from the Eastern countries and some from the Philistines, and they are using superstitions in their life. Be very careful. Just because the whole Christendom is doing superstitions, we don't have to follow them. So this is what Israel did. The assembly of God's people should be very careful. Individually, it is your choice as an individual to do certain things or not to do certain things. It could be superstition, it could be tradition, but my question always I ask, and I ask you also to consider, is what I am going to do, is this contradicting the Bible? Is it against the truth that has been already handed over to us? So Israel was following the spiritism bringing among them. That's one thing that we briefly looked at last week. And then because of that, they started getting involved in paganism. They are allied themselves with the children of foreigners. There is nothing wrong with children. Their alignment, their recognition of the pagan religion, they slowly started bringing among them. Paul had a warning that all of us know this verse very well. You already may be thinking already before I read it. 2 Corinthians 6:14, Paul says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." We probably heard this many times. And majority of times when you heard it, it was probably referring to a husband, a marriage. You are not supposed to marry an unbeliever, whether man or woman. That is definitely true. Don't take it lightly. But that is not all the application is. The application goes beyond that. The application of unequally yoked does not stop in the marriage. It goes to your business. If you are starting your own business, you should not, in my opinion and my understanding, be co-equally aligned with an unbeliever to have a business together, because his values will be very different. It can be all other things in our life. Unequally yoked does not stop in marriage alone, although that has the topmost alignment. Then the problem was, people of Israel in chapter 2, verse 7, their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Listen carefully. Their land also is full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. This is chapter 2, verse 7. What Isaiah is saying here is, they became so rich And they don't even know how much they have. There is no end of their treasures. They had so many horses. They were so strong, stronger than many nations around them. And there was no end of chariots, it says. The material prosperity has reached the highest point you can think. This is probably 2,500 years ago. Just open your eyes, look around. Isn't that true all around us? At least in America, I can say boldly, yes, it is true. The materialism has reached. It's the most highest point ever. And so what happened because of materialism? Am I saying that we are against richness that God gives you? No, that's not my point. But what does that materialistic thinking the richness has is taking you to the next step in your life? And then it says they brought another horrific sin among them in verse 8 and 9. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands. People make God of their own and they turn around and worship. Maybe some of us coming from the Eastern countries, we know that. They gather mud, make an idol, turn around and worship them. What a stupidity. All it takes is common sense. Sometimes I tell people with the double PhDs, I've seen them go kneel down before these handmade idols. The darkness of the spiritual darkness, that is what happened to Israel. They brought idols and their own hands have made it. And people bow down. Each man humbles himself. Isaiah was crying aloud to God himself and bringing this, Lord, this is what's happening to Israel. We will look at briefly what God was doing to Israel in a moment as we go through here. Divine judgment God announced to Israel. I will not take you go through all of the divine judgment that was brought. God said, Israel cried unto God. God said, I'm going to take my stand here. He brought judgment upon Israel. Horrific judgment. They could not even suffer. Now, briefly, we will look at what was God doing to these people who has done so much evil and sin and brought all these things among them. Mind you, we are also coming to the leaders there. They are the one who did most of this. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty men and the men of war, the judge and the prophet and the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man. God said, I'm going to step in. I'm going to take away all these that are listed here. They're going to take away the richness, their supply of bread, water, mighty men of war, representing the horses they had, judges and prophets and diviners and elders in their midst, captain of 50s and the honorable men. From one man to the 50, to the nation, all God said, I'm going to come out and punish them and take it away. If you enjoy richness, praise God. I thank God if you enjoy richness. But what that richness is doing in your life in relation to the Lord is something that you have to answer yourself. I cannot answer it for you. I can only answer it for myself. It is quite possible the Lord can step in and take that away in the twinkling of an eye. That's what happened to Israel. Loss of provisions. Lord takes away the provision of food and brings them famine. Disobedience to God would rob God's people of divine provision. Let me repeat that statement. Disobedience to God, God will bring, take away the divine provision that He gives. It may not have happened to you, or maybe it happened to you and me, and we never noticed it happened because we were not paying attention. Verse 2 says in chapter 3, loss of personnel, the mighty man and the man of war, the presence of the diviners reminds us that morally and doctrinally, these people were far, far away from the truth, and they didn't even know it. Or if they knew, they didn't care. Paul says, this again, this verse we know, 1 Corinthians 5, 6, a little leaven, leaven is the whole lump. All it takes is a little bit, whether it be in a local assembly setup or in your own family setup or in your personal life, all it takes is a little bit of sin that you let it go, it will grow and become uncontrollable in your life. And that is what happened to Israel. It didn't all happen in one day. It started growing day by day as they went on, ignoring God and His commandment, allowed the sin that was so prevalent among all the nations around them. Instead of rejecting them, they started bringing them into their midst. Now, God's judgment also brings not only removal of the provisions and the food and all the material blessings they had, but it also says the leadership, God's judgment brings absence of maturity in the leadership they have. Now, we can preach on that for hours. I can think of many churches around the world where I have traveled. Many of our brothers, I know you do too, many travel all around the world. Not everywhere, don't take me wrong. I'm not saying every church event is bad. There are churches that has gone to as leadership, immature leadership, which has brought divisions and problems and misled God's people into the wrong paths. Verse 7 says, and I will give them children to be their leaders or their princes. There are some of the kings in the Judah where they started young. The age is not the matter. The children, the word children means there are immature people leading making the leaderships. And absence of ability in leadership. It happened 2,500 years ago. It happens today all around the globe. We need to be watching very carefully. Now, I have heard people say this. Responsibility in the assembly is sometimes based on making the best of a job, best we can do. Or rather, they will say, a man can be far from 1 Timothy chapter 3, but they will come and say, well, he is the best we have. What a sorry situation. God takes the leaders of God's people very seriously. We should not admit the best we have. We should only admit what the scripture says. This was the problem with Israel, and God said, okay, you leaders, you have misled the people of God. You have driven them away. You have brought all these problems and sin into the country. I'm going to bring you immature children to rule over you. And God also gives them the reason. Why is He doing this? Is He just an angry God sitting in heaven? No. He says they were, verse 8 says, they were self-assertive in their sin. And they were self-evident in their sin. And they were self-destructive in their sin. God made that very clear. These are the reason for which I am taking the action. Now, He points very clearly the failures of the leaders among them. It is very interesting to note that the leaders are the one who failed, and they are the one who led the people of God into this situation. where Saul says the leaders had weakened God's people. The leaders had confused God's people. I'm not really not going into a lot of details. You can think of places where the leadership has caused confusion and also weakened the spiritual growth of God's people. Number three, the leaders had robbed God's people. That robbing is primarily not just the spiritual robbing, also the material robbing. I do get a weekly magazine in the email. It is called Ministry Watch. I don't read all of them. What a pathetic situation of churches all around us. Mega churches, pastors having immoral relationship, pastors having immoral relationship in the church, pastors stealing God's money from the church. One pastor and his wife recently, I will not proclaim it because I am not condemning anyone. More than $1.5 million, husband and wife together, took it away from the church. This is hundreds of examples that's happening. The leaders are doing this. They are robbing the people of God. This particular magazine also, it comes to me sometimes 2 times a week, email. It is not an interesting thing to read. As if you are not a spiritually strong, I'm not saying I'm strong, very strong, but if you are not spiritually minded man, it can really bring you down. Is this what is really happening? And it has happened right here within DFW area. The leaders had mistreated God's people. All these things that was going on, and God brought this judgment. Now, I'm going to take you to a passage that you may not like me saying it. But sometimes I do get in trouble for telling the truth. Materialism had reached the highest level, the peak, and is visible in their women. Not always women, it also happens to men. Chapter 3, verse 16. Isaiah says, because the daughters of Zion are, listen carefully, haughty and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making jingling with their feet. That means they had ornaments in so many. I'm not against ornaments. They had ornaments from the ear to their neck, to the nose, to the feet. And then they walk, it was jingling, it says. Because of the maturity, the materialistic thing that has so much to do and they didn't know what to do. They said, okay, let's put it on my ear, my nose, my lips, wherever they can find, make a hole, they started doing it. That's what happened. And Isaiah noticed it. And, well, there is judgment for them too. If you want to know about ornaments, we can do a lesson separately on that. I am not against it. But there is clearly directions on that. Both Apostle Paul and Peter has an advice to the ladies. When I say ladies, men, you are not exempted. You are also inclusive to certain level here. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, in like manner also that the women should adorn themselves in modest apparel, underline the word modest, with propriety and moderation, moderation again, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly things. He's not saying don't do any one of them. That should not be the priority that he says. Then Peter says, for this manner in former times, he's referring to the old times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves being submissive to their own husbands. So moderation is what the scripture teaches, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In some part of the world where you come from, they will say, don't even touch the gold, then you are excommunicated. That is not what the scripture teaches. We will deal with that on a separate time. Modesty is emphasized by both Apostle and Paul and Peter. Divine judgment on the daughters of Zion. is described both in a general sense, but also in very special things, judgment that came among them. See what the people of Israel were led from one step to the other. And the effect of what they had to go through was beyond description. And they never expected it. Brothers and sisters, I'm not saying God is going to bring judgment to you tomorrow if you are in this category. He may be long-suffering and forgiving, but judgment is for sure. Now, my time is going very fast. I'm not going to deal with chapter 4, because chapter 4 basically is talking about the effects after this judgment that came from God to these people of Israel. What happened to Israel is the effect of the judgment in chapter 4. And very, very detailed, he says, even to the extent where verse 1 says that they even run out of men. You know, women, there were one man to five women kind of popularity. That was the situation there. And everything, the effect was so terrible and describes in chapter 4. We'll skip that chapter for the moment. But I want to go to chapter 5 and pick up a couple of things. Chapter 5 begins with a vineyard. The owner, or God in this situation, has set up. My well, verse 1 to 2, 1 and 2, my well, beloved, has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest wine. Now just imagine about a field and where this was done by the owner. Excuse me. We see a very similar vineyard stated in Matthew 21:33. The Lord said, "Here another parable. There was a certain household which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and dug a wine press in it." Very similar statement as we read in the chapter 5 of Isaiah. He's saying, "I have planted this." The activity what the owner of the vineyard did is the following. This is his vineyard. The vineyard that he planted belongs to him and no one else. Sometimes God's people claim the churches with their own names. They think it is theirs. God has made it very clear. The church, God's people, are they his? You belong to him. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have ever confessed your sin and come to him for salvation, you belong to him. And not to a church. Well, you will be part of a church for another reason, but you are not owned by another. You are owned by him. The owner owns the vineyard. That is very same truth that we read in the Matthew also, chapter 23. And he planted it where? The best possible location. Look at all this effort that the owner has taken to do the work here. He had the best possible preparation of the land. Picked up all the stones. Many years ago, if you visited Israel, you will probably notice, or maybe somebody told you, that general area has the most stones in the world. Wherever stones of small size, big size, stones everywhere. So our guide that day who was with us, he said, this is what the Lord did. He sent 10 angels with 10 bags of stones. And he took one bag of stones spread all over the world. And the last 9 bags of stones, he brought it and dumped it in Jerusalem, he said. He was just making a point. There are stones everywhere. Whether small or big, or it doesn't matter compared to many other parts of the world. So he made the best preparation to do this vineyard. pick up all the stones. I remember helping my father in my farm to dig some, put some vegetables and this and that. He will dig it and I will sit there, and of course my brothers and others helped us also. We will dig and sit there and go through the stones and weeds, and we'll collect them, put it on the side, make the ground very clean so the cultivation can be done. This is what this owner did. He made the preparation the very best he can. And then he planted something. He said he planted the very best possible wine, not the junky that you can buy from on sale from certain stores, which I won't say. He planted the very best possible wine. And he also gave that wine vineyard the very best possible security. We read that he put a hedge around them. You know what a hedge means? Many of us have a fence around our house. Even that is not very safe. If you put a hedge that is completely covered and protecting the property, probably that is what he says here. He provided the best security for for the vineyard. And not only that, when and when and where this vineyard is going to produce, he also had a wine press where right in the middle of it, all the equipments that are necessary to have good produce, he gave it to them. Can you imagine the work this owner has done with all the efforts that he can do? Because it belongs to him. Beloved, in your life and my life, this is exactly perhaps the Lord has been doing. God's people are greatly privileged people, according to Paul's words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has done everything for us. He has done the very best for us. The question is, what did we do with it? I'm almost closing here in a minute. God's people are greatly privileged. Let me read that verse again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Ephesians 1:3. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, not here on this earth, in heavenly places in Christ. Therefore, his people are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, says Paul again in chapter 4. Now the owner came back. Very quickly we look at that and then I'll close in a minute. The owner came back. He had the greatest disappointment a person can ever have. What happened? After doing all this to this vineyard, what did it bring forth, it says? Anybody remember? Wild grapes. He planted the very best wine, but it produced the wild grapes. I want you to think of what are you producing in your spiritual life. Even if it is not the very best, let it not be the wild grapes that coming from the life of people. The owner said this when he saw the wild grapes. First of all, there would be no protection for this. I will take away the hedge thereof. There would be no production. I will lay it waste. No work will be done. There will be no prospect because I will not give any rain. And the owner said, of course, we know who that is, the Lord Himself. Then we come to the closing of chapter 5. There are six woe unto you statements in chapter 5. I'll briefly touch on that, we'll close. In chapter 5, verse 8, 11, 18, 20, 21, and 22, six times we read, Woe unto you. God saying, woe unto you. The wild grave of selfish ambition in verse 8. God said, woe unto you. The wild grape of sinful pleasures in the people's life. And God said, woe unto you. Verse 11. The wild grape of deliberate sin. Underline the word deliberate. Verse 18. And the Lord said, woe unto you. The wild grape of perverted values. People of God, unfortunately, so sad to say, sometimes including myself, to a certain extent, we have lost our values. Brothers and sisters, think of what is your value, spiritual value that you based on, and what is it based on? If it is a perverted value, Lord says to you this morning, woe unto you, verse 20. And the wild grape of selfish pride that was in their life, verse 21. And the last one, number 6, the wild grape of miscarried justice. What a situation that was among God's people. In all that we look together this morning, to a certain level, it is applicable to you as an individual, or your family, or maybe as a church. We need to pay very close attention, because the days are very evil. Things outside of, I'm not say particularly saying this assembly here, things outside is not necessarily, you know, bed of roses out there, although people think like that. Things that are happening around us, keep an open eye. Don't fall for it. You don't have to go to East to bring these things to in our midst. It is right here. It's already brought in around us. We just have to be careful that we don't fall for it. I hope you and I will take seriously the warnings that are given by the Lord's servant here, that what happened to Israel, as Paul said, all these things happened to them as an example that it may not happen to us, and we may be careful. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you this morning. We can come together and worship and lift our hearts in true remembrance and worship. And also, we thank you for the word of God. It is your precious word. It has spoken to our hearts in the past. We pray that it may continue to speak even today as we live here. Where each one of us, there is a brother or a sister, young brother, young sister, younger ones that are growing up, may take God's word seriously, not to depart from it. Hold on to it truthfully and living for your glory. Commit us to the throne of grace. May our short time of fellowship in the back room may be encouraging one another, and lift our hearts to you. Give thanksgiving and love and adoration. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.